If you kept track of the Superman character today, if you just
I haven't watched it too closely because it's a traumatic thing for
like
me.
A stab in the heart.
I have seen changes in the format, which I think that the change is almost made for the just for the sake of change itself, and I don't really think that it really tremendously is that much of an advance.
When things are real bad for us, if Superman came on television, we turn it off.
Do you think that the way comic books are today, supposedly so much more sophisticated than we were in the old days, that your vision of Superman would be the proper one to go back to if you know, if you had some...
Well, if I had any say-so, I see no reason at all why there couldn't be some... editions of Superman that did follow that format. I don't think it would be harmful. It might even be helpful, and it might round out the character, and there might be millions of people out there who would like a more simpler, direct, but very powerful version of Superman.
Yes, you actually never had Superman as being totally invulnerable. Or you know, as we had it, the robots could actually beat him down. They didn't fall apart as soon as he walked into the room. You prefer a more human Superman.
Well, yes, from the very beginning. Superman himself had a pretty much of a sense of humor about the whole thing. And one of the reasons why I gave him that attitude was because the whole concept in itself was such a wild, wild, wild thing. I felt that the only thing that would breathe any real life and believability into it is if Superman himself didn't take the whole thing that seriously. Except that he was very serious about helping people in trouble and distress, because that's the way I felt.
He kidded himself, but he took crime and injustice.
Now, it has been said that Captain Marvel had a great deal of humor in it, and that Superman was absolutely humorless, but that just is not true. If you look back at the early stuff, you'll find that Superman was kidding around quite a bit when he was tearing tanks apart and kicking, airplane squadrons here and there and everywhere. So there was a spirit of fun in the thing. And as a matter of fact, Joe and I, when we first started going in comics, we had intended to do a comedy strip, so we were very comedy oriented, and that's why Superman did have this sort of comedy flair to it.
It had adventure and science fiction and comedy and a touch of realism. The people looked real, although the situations were fantasy, wish fulfillment. It was the Depression. Everyone wanted someone to rescue him from his terrible.
Now, you've made a very good point there, because Joe and I felt that very intensely. We were young kids, and in order, if we wanted to see a movie, where we had to sell milk bottles, and so we had this feeling that we were sort of like right there at the bottom, and we could sympathize with people who were in trouble, and that's what had something to do with the creation of Superman, who would help people in trouble.
I think that had a great appeal to people. Because they were all hoping that someone would rescue them, or that inside them.
Yeah, well, Superman grew out of our personal feelings about life, and that's why quite often when we saw these so many other similar strips coming out, we felt that perhaps they were imitating the form and format of Superman, but there was something that wasn't there, and that was this tremendous feeling of compassion that Joe and I had for the downtrodden and the people in trouble, and that is something that's in your heart and not in your pocketbook.
And the ironic part is that they became the downtrodden.
Yeah. Well, now, how many... Did you work on the comic strip just like the comic book during those early years?
Yes, that's right. Yes. In other words, we did both the newspaper strips, Sunday and Daily, as well as all the comic book material. Our contract assured us that we were to produce all the material, and then once again, I mean, that's what helped lead to the litigation when they tried to take the character control and production of the character away from us. That was all part of the mess.
I think you should set the record straight on one thing, and that is that you did not sell the character for $130.
Joanne, I'd rather you stay off that topic.
That gets
into legalism.
We'll straighten out
right.
that.
Yes, right, thank
because
you.
It's not like
right.
people think, you know, the public yeah. thinks you. They went and they said, would you like to buy this? And
yes.
the
no.
publisher
yes.
gave them
we
so much.
And incidentally, on the matter of inaccuracies, there have been so many stories about the purported true inside authentic story of Superman that are just full of holes.
And mostly guesswork, and taking quotes from the old Evening Post article.
Which was
even
a very surfacey article.
Did we print a picture out of that?
Yes, I noticed, right. Yeah. So perhaps someday a lot of these things will be straightened out, these inaccuracies. Perhaps in my own book will be straightened out.
I have a story, too, because I have the objective story of my experience with them, and I can look at it not completely objective, because I was involved, too, but...
Well, after Joanne married me, she became involved in so many of the drastically horrible things that happened to me. So from her own viewpoint, she has quite a story of her own.
I was sort of like kind of their business
manager. And in many cases, she has a better memory than I, and she's a little more fluent than I am.
However, I'm not an authority on the comics as he is, because I had... so many other things going, and I was away out of town during the early part after the thing got started, and then when Laura came along, I was busy raising her, and
yes, really.
And but he's in the authority on comics, but I have a memory about what happened to us.
Truly.
That's where I would remember, but when it comes to the history and different people, I didn't meet a great many people. I met a lot of people at the other ball and tonight, you know, on this convention. But he's the one that has the great storehouse of knowledge on comics.
What is interesting about this interview is it really is a first, because Joe and I have been in seclusion for many, many years, for about 11 years or so. And I guess even before then, we didn't talk. We didn't talk too much, and there was just so much about our story that has never been told. And this is really the first time that we're touching on some of the aspects.
Our lives are kind of so bizarre that it will take 3 books to cover it.
Getting off the Superman is for a little bit.
Right.
What other early strips did you do? And what other companies did you do?
Oh, he's so prolific, you wouldn't believe it.
Wow.
I had to make a list because. I can't remember.
Well, I recently furnished a list to Jerry Bales for this publication he's putting out on Who's Who in the Comics or whatever, and it is a very, very long list of credits.
It
took up several pages, and it's strange when I try to recall that I might miss some. But anyway, of course, I did the Spectre, I did the Robot Man, I also did. The Star Spangled Kid and Stripesy for National, and then there is quite a lot of other things that I did, but I guess that information could be found in this Who's Who book.
Yes, but what's interesting is when you wrote for that for Arthur Pierce.
Oh yeah, well one of the most interesting things to me, and very ironic, was for an entire year I wrote a sketch for a daily TV show for Boston television station WNAC TV, and it was it was material for the Marvel superhero show, and I wrote material for the live MC who was Captain America, and I would write comedy skits. I would write intros commenting on the stories, and I think really some of the best and some of the most interesting writing that I've done in my whole life was written for this 7 days a week show. And the strange thing about it was, here I was, the originator of Superman. In order to survive and make a buck, I was beating the drums for a Marvel Comics group, and actually I did love a great deal of the Marvel stuff, so it really was a joy, and I had a lot of fun doing it, because I do tremendously admire and respect Stan Lee and Jack Kirby especially, and I used to get a kick in building up the Marvel bullpen in these things.
And the dialogue that this actor had and the things that he would do, and he was such a good sport.
Fantastic.
We went to Boston to see the people at the station and to meet Arthur Pierce. And are you almost out of tape? And we went to a department store in order to see him, because we couldn't get it on our station. And he was jumping up and down, and he said, and he had a great many fans were college students around Boston. Mm-hmm. And he said he made a personal appearance once, and the little kids almost tore him apart. We had him out at the house and as our guest one time, and he was telling us some wild experiences.
He did tell me at one time that that they still had a complete library of all those tapes, but I don't know whether they're still in existence
anymore.
I'd
love to have
it. But it was really great fun.
It was really wild.
Some of those that I did see. It almost had me rolling on the floor because it's one thing to write cold copy on paper. It's another thing to see it really come alive.
But what is even stranger is to go to a department store and see like 15 television sets doing all the same thing. Got him jumping up and down and saying dear lines, you know.
Great.
I mean, his, of course. And we were rolling in the aisles, you know.
And this actor was very sincere about the character, Captain Marvel.
Big guy, good actor, personable. He was in a movie with Elvis
Presley.
What was the name of that movie?
Yes, there were so many.
Just a moment.
This was about
1966. It was just around the time when I was leaving the Superman people. I think I was still writing it while I was still writing Superman material, and then when I left them, that's what kept me alive for a year.
Right, we were able to pay the rent. Anyway, we were invited to this Boston station as guests, and it was over like Thanksgiving, so it was a sort of a vacation for us. We went up there, and it was wonderful.
Well, this actor looks so imposing in his
Captain America
costume. He really was great. I have a still somewhere at home of him.
We have a great
He really looks good. He's got that fighting expression. He's got that shield, and he looks like he's gonna leap right out and clobber you.
Yeah, he was great.
That's right. Oh yeah, as a matter of fact, he resembled Burt Lancaster.
He had that smile. Yeah, he was wonderful. Too bad he isn't here. He's a great guy. He's somewhere in New York.
Well, gentlemen, is that it, or do you have any more questions?
Yes.
Before you run out of tape.
Did you write the comic strip stories more toward an adult audience, since they did go to quite a different audience than the comic books did?
Well, as a matter of fact, on everything that I wrote in the early years, I never wrote down. I just tried to write stories that I enjoyed, and I was hopeful that if I enjoyed it, other people would enjoy it. And I had a great healthy respect for the fans, and I didn't care what their age was. I tried to write up to them. That was my ideal. This was a super character, and I wanted to do right not only by the character, but by the readers. And I had never had any intention at all, and I never tried to write down at all. I always try to write up.
Okay. Marvelous.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you so much for spending this little time with us.
And I want to thank you again so much. It was your column. It was really running all about.
Well,